Let's turn in our Bibles this morning, but before we turn in our Bibles to our opening passage of Scripture, and I think it's a very important message that the Lord has given me for you this morning, because I wasn't even thinking about it until he told me to give it to you, okay? Say this with me. Say, I stay steady during these unstable times, regardless of what comes my way. God's way is my way. Every day, I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. When the negative issues of life come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in God's holy word. My heart is established in God's word. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of anything that's out of order in my life. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to your power that's at work in my life now, I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you believe that? How many of you receive that? Then it's yours. Now, here's something very important to remember. The Lord gave me that confession several years ago. And as I began to confess it, I thought that was for the night crowd when we were having Bible study nights. But I found out later that God had that really for me. And really what happened was this. Things were becoming unstable. But what's the first part of that confession? I stay what? During what? Regardless of what comes your way, what's going to happen? God's way is going to be your way. Now, you know what happened? When things were unsteady, when things weren't looking like how they should have been going, I kept my confession. The Bible says to what? Hold fast to your confession without what? Without wavering. For he who's faithful has promised, right? So that's something that you know, it's not just something I say as an opening exercise before I teach. I'm speaking that prophetically over my audience. And I know that I wanted to go into their hearts, because when you leave here this afternoon, you got to go back out there. You got to go out into an unstable place. Amen? So it helps us to stay steady. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Excuse me. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 16. Now, is everyone there? How many of you brought your Bibles this morning? That's what I want to see. Who brought your Bible? How many of you brought those little tablets and all that other little stuff? Okay, that's good, just as long as you got it, you know. But I make sure it's powered in, you know. Because I've seen those conk out on people, right? But it's something about the Bible. This ain't going to conk out, right? Unless I conk out, right? Is everyone at John 3:16? Okay, let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, in a lot of businesses, they have what they call what? Organizations. They have what they call what? A mission statement, right? And everybody should know that mission statement. And they rehearse that mission statement. And when you go out there, that's what? Your mission statement, right? Well, John 3:16 and 17 is our mission statement. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything else. You don't need to know who the two witnesses are in the book of Revelation. You don't need to know how many angels can dance on a needle. You don't even need to know any of that. All you need to know is what God did, what? So loved this world. Our mission to this world is to tell them and communicate to them the love of God. Amen? Now let's turn to our lesson for this morning. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, Mr. Joe. Proverbs chapter 3. And this morning we're going to be primarily in the book of Proverbs. Is that okay? Okay, good. Well, we're going to be there anyway. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Is everyone there? I'm reading from the King James Version. I'd like for you to read along with me, okay? Okay, let's read. My son, forget not my law, but let thine what? Let your what? Heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they do what? Add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck and write them upon the table of what? Thine heart or your heart, right? Thou shalt do what? Find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct thy paths. Now, let's move over to Proverbs chapter 4, and let's pick up at verse 20, okay? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Are you there? Okay, let's read that together. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? Thine heart or your heart. For what? They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Keep thy what? Heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. Now, another translation says the forces of life come out of where? They emanate from where? From your heart. Amen. I think you're seeing where we're going this morning, right? Turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Okay? And we're going to read the first three verses of Proverbs chapter 7. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read that. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon what? The table of what? Of thine heart. Now, what we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to talk about the subject of the heart. Okay? And the lesson that the Lord gave me to share with you this morning, because he posed it to me as a form of a question, and I'm going to pose it to you this morning as a form of a question. And the question is this: what's in your heart? Okay? Now, when we're looking in the book of Proverbs, we understand that the book of Proverbs deals with principles of the kingdom. Am I correct? So when we're reading the book of Proverbs, although it's in the Old Testament, it's not an Old Testament book, okay? Because when you're interpreting Scripture, certain things belong in the Old Testament, and we look at them in light of the new and light of the old. But here, the book of Proverbs is precepts and principles concerning the kingdom of God. So now, if this is being mentioned, if the heart is being mentioned in the book of Proverbs, and that's where we get wisdom to how to interact in this world, right? From the kingdom of God, it's important that we understand this. Amen? Now, here's what we're going to look at, right? When we use that word heart, now the word heart, it has several meanings, doesn't it? So it's important that we know which meaning we're using the word heart for. Like, for example, if I tell my wife before she leaves, she's going to get something. I love you with all my heart, right? Now, do I love, you can go. Now, do I love her with my physical organ? No. What am I talking about when I say that? What? Emotions, come on. You guys getting real spiritual on me. It's emotions, okay? It's emotions, right? I love you with all my heart, right? Now, here's another question. Let me ask you this one. Sometimes they say this in reference to a person. Oh, in sports. Oh, he's the heart of that team. Now, is he a physical organ? Is he the emotions? What does heart there mean? What? The centerpiece, the main thing, right? Right? Now, here's another one. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Let's get to the heart of the matter. Now, is he talking about a physical heart? Is he talking about an emotional heart? Is he talking about a person? Not necessarily, but he's talking about what? The main issue, right? Here's another one. He's experiencing problems with his heart, therefore bypass surgery was needed. Now, there we know what the word heart means, right? It means this individual's physical heart. Doesn't mean his emotion. Doesn't mean that he was the main person. Doesn't mean he was the main thing, but it was physical. So you understand where I'm going with it. When we hear the word heart, we need to keep it in its context, okay? Otherwise, we'll come out with the wrong conclusion. Now, here in the book of Proverbs, when it's talking about that word heart, the word that is being used to describe this is the Hebrew word lib. Okay? Now that word means this. It means figuratively, it means mind or in the midst of feelings, will, or intellect. So with these three scriptures that we read, the writer is talking about that Hebrew word, your heart, your emotions, your will, and your intellect. But now there's another word that's in the Hebrew that runs concurrent with that, and that word is called libab. Libab is L-E-B-A-B, libab. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so just remember that. Now this word makes reference to the part of man, the inner part of man, referring to his soul. Now I know in many of our studies, when we say the heart of man, we think of what? The spirit, right? Right? But here in the book of Proverbs, it's talking about that area in which is the central core. In other words, that area which is, think of it this way. We're in this facility, right? This facility, let's say for argument's sake, this facility represents our spirit, right? Our spirit. This door that I'm pointing to over here, some of you can't see it, but I'm pointing to this door. That door, let's say that's the only door that was in this facility. That's the only way in here. So that door, that doorway, which that door and its function, it protects us from the outside, but it allows something in. So let's say that door represents our soul, represents our intellect, represents our emotions, represents our thought processes, right? Whatever we allow in comes in. Okay, I want you to think, and outside is our body, right? But now, what we're looking at here, that's why I'm just taking some time with this, is when we're talking in the book of Proverbs and for this morning, when we're talking about the heart, we're talking about that area which houses your desires. Say that with me, say my desires. It also houses your inclinations. Say my inclinations. I'm going somewhere with this. And my will, say my will. Now, all of those three things emanate, they come from out of your heart. Now, in the book of Proverbs, because we're still in the book of Proverbs, I want to set the stage. In the book of Proverbs, you're going to see mentioned two types of hearts. Okay, not just one, two types of hearts. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And we're talking about what's in your heart. Proverbs chapter 10. Now look at verse 8. And we're going to look at the first part of that verse, okay? Is everyone there? Proverbs chapter 8. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 10. I apologize. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, the first part of that. Are you there now? Okay, good. Let's read that first part. Let's read it with me. The wise in heart will do what? Receive commandments. Got that? So in other words, a wise heart is going to do what? Receive commandments. Okay? Now, look at Proverbs 28. No, Proverbs 15. I'm sorry. Proverbs 18, 15. Oh, I'm getting twisted here a little. Proverbs 18, the 18th Proverbs, the 15th verse. Proverbs 18, 15. Okay? Is everyone there? Let's read that. The heart of the prudent gets what? Gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So in other words, a wise heart is going to do what? It's going to seek knowledge. It's going to listen to commandments, right? A prudent heart will seek knowledge, right? Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 20, and let's look at the first part of that verse. No, the latter part. The verse 20, we're at the right place, but we're going to take the latter part. Let's read the whole thing, but we're going to really focus in on the latter part of that verse 20. Because in the first part, it says the tongue of the just is as choice silver, right? That's the tongue of the just. But now let's look at the heart of the wicked. But the heart of the wicked is what? Little worth. So in other words, a wicked heart has no value, okay? Let's look at another verse of scripture, okay? Turn to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, and look at verse 26. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Okay? And we should read that first part of that verse, okay? Is everyone there? Let's read it. He that trusteth in his own heart is what? Is a fool. So in other words, if you find a person who's trusted in their own thoughts, their own intellect, their own inclinations, apart from God, because that's what a wicked heart is. Any heart that's apart from God is wicked. So it makes no difference who they are. It makes no difference where they are. According to the word of God, according to Proverbs, the heart that is going after God is a just heart, is a righteous heart. But a wicked heart is a heart that's going apart from God. So he who's wise in his own heart, a wicked heart that is wise in his own heart is what? Counted as what? Being a fool. Okay? And doesn't that sound like what King Saul said? Remember? He said, I played the fool, right? When he lost his kingdom and he was after David, and then when he was being, and David was trying to reconcile to him, King Saul said, I've played the fool and erred exceedingly. In other words, I played the fool. You know why he played the fool? Because he was going, his counsel, his direction was going against God's counsel and direction. So that's why it's very important for us that any decisions we make, any direction we're going in, any inclinations, we got to make sure where we're going after God. Amen? You follow that? Because anything apart from that is foolishness. Amen? So here we see two hearts, right? The wise heart or the righteous heart. And that's the heart, like I said before, that's going towards God. And then we also see an example of a wicked and evil heart. That's a heart that's going, that's apart from God. Okay? Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to see something very interesting. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. And I've heard, how many of you heard this? I mean, I've heard this since I became a Christian. I've heard people always quote Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. Let me know when you're there. Are you there? Okay, you guys are good. Now, let's read that together. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, how many of you heard preachers preach on that and say, you know, the heart's wicked, right? But the truth of the matter is, as we just uncovered here, a heart apart from God is wicked, is desperately wicked, okay? And look at what he says here, and who can know it, right? But now look at verse 10. See, that's why we got to make sure we preach the whole counsel of God's word. Because if you look at verse 10, let's read that. He says, the Lord speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, he says, I, the Lord, does what? He searches the heart, right? And I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. So who searches the heart? God searches the heart. I can't search your heart. I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart. But God does what? He searches the heart. Now that word searches in the Hebrew is a word called, I'll spell it, C-H-A-R-A-B, charab. That means, that word search means God penetrates the heart. God examines the heart. God intimately finds out what's going on in that heart, right? And God is the one who seeks out what's in your heart. So in other words, I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart. But God does, okay? And like I said before, a heart that is not seeking after God is deceitful. Okay, keep that in mind. Now I want you to think about this. It's food for thought. Think about your heart as this way. Your heart is like a computer. How many of you have a computer at home? Okay? Now, on your computer, you have what? A hard drive, right? Now, what's the job of that hard drive? What does a hard drive do on a computer? Do I have any IT people here? What? What? You store information. You download to the hard drive, right? And it's stored there, right? So in other words, whatever you downloaded from your computer is stored where? In that hard drive. Now, how many of you have seen those shows or heard about police reports when something happened, they went and captured the computer of the perpetrator, and they were able to do what? Pull up files. Okay? So I want you to think of your heart as the same way. Your heart is like that hard drive. So whatever you allow in, it's going to be downloaded. It's going to be stored there. It's going to be archived there. And it's going to be there. That's why the writer of Proverbs said what? Guard your heart, how? With all diligence. Now, think about this. If God is telling us through Proverbs to guard our heart, wouldn't it tell you that there's a possibility that something can get in there? Now, how many of you, with the computers, how many of you heard about people downloading something and there was, what, a virus in it or a Trojan or something like that? And what does it do to that drive, hard drive? It crashes it, right? It goes crash, right? And why? Because someone downloaded something without realizing that that thing that they were downloading into that hard drive was harmful. Well, it's the same thing with us. We got to remember this. We have to remember is that our hearts are like a hard drive. Things, are, you know, whatever we see, whatever is around us, we're storing it. That's why it's so important for us as believers to store in our hearts what? What should we be storing in our hearts? The Word of God. And I got news for you. Your heart was designed. My heart was designed. It was designed to store God's Word and nothing more. And what happens is we've been storing other things in there. Okay? Let me go on further in this message. Okay? Let's go back, right? Like I said, in Proverbs chapter 3, he mentions, let your heart keep what? God's commandment. Because where's God's commandment going to be stored? In your heart. So once again, getting back to the computer, if it's stored, if God's word is stored in my heart, then guess what happens? When the issues of life come against me, what should I be downloading? I should be uploading God's word that was what? Stored in my heart. That's why it's very important. I don't know if you're doing it, but I would encourage you to daily read God's word. Daily make it a matter that you feed yourself on a daily basis God's word. Because when we read God's word, when we're meditating in God's word, we're really downloading God's word. Now, you may not need it now, but I got news for you. If you download in your heart, by his stripes, I'm healed. He was wounded for my transgressions. The chastisement of my peace is upon me. Chastisement of his peace is upon me. And by his stripes, I'm healed. If you store that in your heart, then when you go to turn on the TV, and I'll tell you right now, if you turn on the TV, I saw it yesterday, that's why I turned it off. Turned on the TV, and what was the first order of news? The Ebola. Ebola, right? Now, Ebola, 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 right? And that's all they're telling you is Ebola here. Ebola there. Ebola was in Africa, and it was in the death that was happening there. Missionaries that went to Ebola, they came back, and they put them in like quarantine and all this other stuff. Now Ebola was in, what, Kennedy Airport or some airport? They don't even know where Ebola is. Now, but listen. Now, remember, we're talking about two types of hearts. The wicked heart and the righteous heart. Now, the wicked heart is all, remember I told you, that's Satan. That's the world system. See, this world system is under that domination. So all they can tell you, the only kind of news they can tell you is Ebola. Right? But now, if we're sitting there, and I'm turning that on, and I'm watching that, and if I allow myself to listen to all those reports and all of this, and the disease center for this, that, other doctor so-and-so, and they don't know what up, if I'm allowing that to get in, remember I talked about the door? The soul is the door. If I open that door, I'm letting that in, I'm getting a download of a virus. Then guess what it's going to do to my computer, my hard drive? It's going to crash it. And how many, you know how many times we had system failures and crashes and didn't even know it? Because we've allowed things in that was not designed to be there. Remember I said, God's word was designed to be stored in our hearts. Because if it wasn't, the writer of Proverbs wouldn't have said that. Notice he would have said, keep my word in your head. He didn't say that, right? He said, keep it where? In our hearts. Because that's the hard drive. And he said also, write God's word on what? On what? A tablet, right? Now, how many of you got one of these? This is a tablet, right? Now, what do you do with a tablet? You can write, you can download, and you can store, right? You can interface, do all. I mean, technology's great, right? But now, if I were to give Ralph my tablet, and he was to turn it on, he would see everything that I have on my tablet. He see the things I have downloaded, the things that are there, whatever. Now, the question I'm asking is this. What have I downloaded on my tablet? What have you allowed to be downloaded in your tablet? Because if I open up Ralph's tablet, he got a tablet too. Matter of fact, he got one better than mine. But if we look, then I'll see what you've been watching, right? Or I see what your interests are. Sometimes I have downloaded books. You know, you have books, recipes, whatever. You know, whatever you want to have. But God's word was designed to be written in our hearts as a tablet, to keep with us, because this gives me access to whatever I need whenever I need it, right? Well, God wants you to put his word in your heart like a tablet too. You take it wherever you got to go. So if you got to go to work, the word went to work with you. If you got to go back to your neighborhood or where you live, the word is there. If you go on vacation, guess what? The word goes on vacation with you. So it doesn't become a matter of, well, did I bring my Bible? Is my Bible here? Because I got to have my word. Well, yeah, this is good to feed on, but we should be taking this from here and putting it where? In our hearts, okay? Good. I'm glad you got that. Now, here's something that we need to remember, and I talked about it. Remember I said what we watch is very important. I mean, I found this out. I found this statistic, and I was startled by it. Let me ask you, what do you think is the number one moneymaker on the internet? What's the number one thing that you think is making a lot of money on the internet? What? She's right. Pornography. I never knew that. I thought maybe it was like medicine or books or, you know, Netflix or, you know. No, but it's the biggest industry out there. But now here's the dangerous part about it. Remember I told you about like the hard drive? You download that, it's in here. You got it? So now the danger of the whole thing is this, is remember I said you pull things up? Whatever you download, you got to upload. So the thing is with pornography, which is so addictive to a lot of people, is they don't realize it's addiction. And then they go again and again and again, and it gets worse. Next thing you know, they're all out somewhere, and then you hear a news report about someone that was in some area, and, oh, this happened and that happened, and he was involved in this or she was involved in that. It can all be traced back to what they downloaded in their heart. That's why the writer of Proverbs said what? Guard your heart how? with all diligence. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, I always thought about this. Well, if God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, if he knows what I have to deal with, if he knows he's giving me the work, then why can't God help me manage what's going in my heart? Say it again. It's very important. See, God wants that choice to be yours. We have to choose what we allow in. How many of you have cable? Okay, I got cable too. It's another sin to have cable. But now, no, here's what I'm trying to say. Everybody has cable, but everybody don't look at the same channel, right? So you have a choice of what you want to look at, right? I mean, there's some Christian channels I wouldn't turn to. I wouldn't waste no time with. I mean, programs. But the point I'm making is the choice is always yours. That's why they gave you that little remote, right? And you can go to this channel or that, or if there's a certain type of thing you like, you can go on one of these special subscription things, and all you're going to see is what you like to watch. Like some guys like to watch road racing and cars. There's a whole racing channel, right? I don't know why my cable company gave me. They said, oh, free racing channel. I don't look it. I'm not into racing cars, you know, or the, you know, outdoor sportsman gun and shoot. They gave it to, they said, oh, we gave this to you free. But I didn't want that. But you see what I mean? But in that, you have a choice. Every one of us has a choice. We can choose what we want to watch, right? We access what we want to watch. Well, it's the same thing with God's word. We have to make a decision to say, okay, I got to be a better gatekeeper of what's going into my heart, because what I allow in is going to get what? Downloaded. But there's some good news. Everyone say good news. There's some good news, okay, because I don't want to just talk about the bad news. There's some good news. Notice here, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but let's go back to this. Remember King David? Remember David? And remember the situation he had with Bathsheba and all that whole thing? Remember, he was a good guy in a bad place at a bad time, right? No, that's the truth. He was a good guy, but he was in a bad place at the wrong time, right? He should have been out to war, and he was on his deck looking out, and he saw something, right? Well, anyway, we understand the result of that was what? Him causing the death of Bathsheba's husband, and also him having interrelations with her, having sex with her, having a child out of wedlock, right? So now the child is born, and now he had time, and he figures, if I marry her, if I straighten everything out, you know, I made a mess of things. Remember I talked about the evil heart? Apart from God, I'll do this, I'll do that. And he figured everything was going to be all right, right? But then God sent a prophet to him, right, by the name of Nathan, right? And Nathan confronted David on his sin, right? Now, the interesting thing was, I thought, that shows you how much God loves us. See, that wasn't an evil thing. That was a wonderful thing. Because if it had been up to David, he was trying to push that under the rug. He married her, made everything look nice, the kid, they could take a nice little photo. Life was going to be all right, right? But as far as God was concerned, nah, everything wasn't all right. But God gave him room to repent. But David still didn't take that opportunity. It wasn't until when God allowed his servant, the prophet, to come in and speak to David that David got convicted, right? Now turn to your Bible to Psalm 51. Let's see the results of that confrontation. Psalm 51, we're going to see the results of that confrontation and the resolve that David came with. Amen? Now, look at verse 6. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. Okay? Is everyone there? Let's read, because we can read the whole thing, but I want to pick it up at verse 6 for time's sake. He says, behold, thou desirest truth where? In inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know what? Wisdom. Then he says something very important. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be what? Clean. Wash me, and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. So in other words, here's what happened. David couldn't sacrifice himself out of this. He couldn't confess himself out of this. He had to do what? Repent. Now, repent is a good word. If you love God, repent is a good word. Repent means just changing your direction. If I'm going in this direction, I turn around, I'm going in this direction. I'm changing my direction. That means to repent. That's a good thing. But notice what David says here. He says God desires truth where? In the inward parts. What's in your inward parts? Your heart. And then he says to ask God to purge him, right? But now let's look at verse 10. Are you there? Move down to verse 10. He says what? Create in me what? Do you hear that? Create in me what? Clean heart. Now let's get back to the computer. Remember that computer that had that hard drive and had that virus? And boom, it crashed, right? What's the remedy for that? An antivirus, right? Bring something in, restore that computer, get that bug out, and now it's back up and running, right? So David said, create in me what? A clean heart, and renew what? A right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not what? Thy Holy Spirit from me. Now look at what he says in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now look at verse 13. Then he was going to do what? I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now what is David really saying there? He's saying this. He realized that a wicked heart always wants to try to conceal and hide. So if ever you want to know what kind of heart you're operating in, if you're trying to conceal and hide something that you knew God was telling you and confronting you about, remember, God confronts us because he loves us. Confrontation is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But a righteous heart, as David asked for and what he received, was what? It was able to reveal and to teach, okay? Now, here's something very important. A contrite heart, right? Let me look at it. Let's see, where am I at? I'm going to make sure I'm on this. Created me a new heart, okay? I think I left a step out of here, but that's okay. What I want you to understand is that David was asking God for a contrite heart. Now, what does it mean to have a contrite heart? What does the word contrite mean? I'm glad you asked. It means showing sincere remorse, filled with a sense of guilt and a desire for atonement. In other words, being willing to repent. So a heart that's willing to repent is showing contrition, is a contrite heart, right? But now look at this. Turn to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 of 51. Oh, let me go back there. Hold on. Thank you, Minister Joe. Let me just take a look. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, sir. That's what I left out of here. Because I mentioned down here, our efforts and sacrifices is not what God desires. Look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit and a broken and what? Contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So in other words, it's not enough to say, well, Lord, look what I'm doing for you. Look at what I'm done. Look at what I've done. God's not interested in that. What he's interested in is what? A contrite heart. And I already explained to you what that means, right? Now, turn to Isaiah. Thank you, Mr. Joe. Turn to Isaiah 57. This is going to tie in. The book of Isaiah, the 57th chapter. Because we're talking about what's in your heart. Amen? Now, look at verse 15. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Are you there now? Let's read it together. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of what? A contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, and to do what? To revive the heart of the contrite ones. So in other words, even if we downloaded something in our heart that was not good, if we bring it before God, God is faithful and just to clean and clear out our heart. Matter of fact, he desires that. See, God doesn't desire us to put up a front, because he already knows what's in our heart. But what he wants us to do is what? Come towards him with a contrite heart, a humble heart. Amen? Are you following this? Now, turn with me over to Ezekiel, Because this is another scripture that we talk about, and sometimes we, not that we don't interpret it correctly, but sometimes we hear it in a context that's a little bit, just a little bit, you know, not on context is here. Now, Ezekiel chapter 11, beginning at verse 19, okay? And the God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. He's speaking to Israel. But notice what he says. He says, and I will give them what? One heart. And I will put what? A new spirit within you. And I will take out what? The stony heart. I'll wait for everyone to get there. Because I hear pages rustling. We'll wait. Because I want you to see this and I want you to underline this. Or highlight it in your Bible. Now is everyone there? Okay, let's read again. Let's read together. And I will give them what? One heart. And I will put what? A new spirit within you. And I will take what? The stony heart out of their flesh and give them what? A heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and what? And I will be their God. Now notice what God said to the prophet Ezekiel. He said he's going to take out that stony heart, right? Now I want you to underline stony, that word stony, and right above it or somewhere in your margin, the law. That represents the law. And then he says a heart of flesh, right? That flesh, underline, and put grace. So what God was pronouncing to the children of Israel and even to us today, God was going to remove that law and give them what? Grace. John chapter 1, verse 17, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says the law came through who? Moses. But grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. That's why it's very important for us to understand that Jesus Christ, because when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, it gave us the ability to have that heart of flesh. So therefore, no more law, no more statutes, but we do have one law that we have to obey. And what law is that? The law of love, the royal law of love. If we keep that, if we walk in the love of God, then we've kept all of the law. But also that the love of God comes from a heart of flesh. Amen? Now we have the ability to walk in God's statutes and laws, which sums up walking in the love of God. Now Jesus spoke about the heart also. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm leading up to what's in your heart. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says something very important. Because once again, he's talking about principles in the kingdom of God as well. Okay? Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Okay? We're just picking up where he's at. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by what? Its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye being what? Evil, speak of what? Good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? Speaks. Let me say that one more time. For out of the abundance of our heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So in other words, what Jesus was saying here, he was really reciting to them a principle of the kingdom. And the principle of the kingdom of God goes like this. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth. Say that. What's in my heart? Everyone say it together. Everyone don't sound convinced. Wake up. Say, what's in my heart comes out my mouth. So in other words, we can say it this way. Your mouth is telling what's in your heart. So you can listen to people. I mean, go tomorrow when you go to work or you go out to school. Listen to what people are saying. What people are saying, they're telling you what's in their heart. So you don't really have to analyze too much. You just let them talk. Right? Right, Deacon Susie? Let them talk, right? She makes a living off of that. A very good living, I might add. Praise the Lord. But now let's look at something very important here. And I shared it before, but I'm going to emphasize it again. What are we downloading in our heart? Are we downloading the Word of God or the words of this world? Okay? Now, the good news is this, that the Father has given us the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's where the Holy Spirit fits into all of this with us when we're talking about what's in our heart. He's given us the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us manage God's Word in our heart. You got that? So the Holy Spirit's job is to do what? Help us manage. He's not going to download it. You got that? The Holy Spirit is not going to hover over us and download the Word of God in us. But what he's going to do, he's going to help us what? Manage that Word we've downloaded in us. Amen? Now, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. That way you don't think I'm making this up. Okay, because somebody say, hey, man, it sounds nice, but if it's not the Bible, then don't believe it. John chapter 14. Now, let's look at verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. Okay? Now, Jesus is talking about the Comforter, right? Look at what he says. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to do what? Teach you all things and bring all things to what? Your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, some of you may say, well, Elder William, I just heard you say that we're to store things in our heart. So what is the Holy Spirit going to show us? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to do this. He's going to take that word that you stored in your heart, bring it out, and illuminate it to you. Because how many of you had that happen? You've heard a scripture. You heard it time and time again. But it seems like in this one situation or instance, you know, the word came up, but it came up in such a way that you didn't even know it was there until you said it, until you did it. Well, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Amen? That's his ministry to us, okay? Let's keep moving along with this. Now, look at John 16. John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit again. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will do what? Show you things to come. You know, I think in the days that we're living in today, it's very important that we understand and recognize that the Holy Spirit, if we would just listen, and listen where? In our hearts, he would tell us things that we need to know. Now notice what it says. Things that you need to know. Not that I don't need to know everything. You don't need to know everything. You just need to know certain things and have confidence in this, that if God told you tomorrow that when you get up to go to work, don't drive that way. Drive the next way. Or as you're going about your business today, don't go into work today. Go to that other place. Don't go there. If he says those types of things to you, he's telling you things to come. We've heard about that. Remember 9/11. We had some people in our congregation. God told them either not to go to work or go another way. One guy, he thought it was a big inconvenience. But when he saw that building come down, he said, praise the Lord. Otherwise, he would have been there because he said he goes to work every day. So the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Now, here's what I want to share with you. And I'm going to get kind of carnal with you, so just bear with me for a minute. How many of you have ever seen this commercial on TV, right? It's these Viking guys. They got hatchets and swords, and they're running all around the supermarket, and they're supposed to be checking out money out of a register, and they're using their hammer to hammer it, or they're running around doing something, right? They're doing this whole thing, and it's a crazy scene that they're supposed to be doing things with money, right, or cards, but they're using their weapons, right? And what does one of those Vikings turn to the screen and say to the people? What does he say? What's in your wallet, right? Now, that's the whole gist of the whole commercial, right? This Viking guy's going around chopping up things, smashing up things, and then he turns and looks at you and says, what's in your wallet, right? Well, I got news for you. Satan and his cohorts is running around trying to bring sickness and disease. He's trying to bring financial setbacks. He's trying to bring chaos into your life, just like those Vikings were tearing up stuff. But then he comes and says, what's in your heart? Because what's in your heart will come out. You got it? Now, the commercial was saying they want to know, because they wanted you to use their card, not the other ones, right? But now here's what we're saying. When you're being faced with situations that are contrary to what you believe in God, You got to treat it the same way. It's just like Satan walking up to your door and saying, what are you going to do about that? And what happens? From out of our hearts has to come God's word. I mean, each and every one of us had that situation. I've had it personally in my life where I come to church, I'm believing God's word, I'm all of this, and then all of a sudden, boom, with our family or with our finances, boom, things happen. And the first thing I always heard was the enemy trying to tell me, now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And you know what you're going to do? Whatever you downloaded in your heart is going to come up to meet that situation. Now, we've all had it, and we all have to stand against this. So I'm not saying something that's foreign to you. I'm not saying something that none of us had to stand. Some of us are standing against health. But I got news for you. What's in your heart? What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Some of us are standing against financial pressure. But I got news for you. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Some of us are standing against situations on your job or situations in your life that you didn't plan this. You didn't think it was going to happen this way. But now the question becomes, what's in your heart? Because what's in your heart needs to come out of your mouth. Because when we put God's word in our heart, and when that situation comes and we speak it out of our mouths, then what we're doing is we're activating our faith. See, that's what faith is. Faith is not me just reading a list of scriptures and then just spouting them off at a situation. But faith is what's in your heart coming out of your mouth. I'm reminded of Jesus. Remember Jesus with this situation with Lazarus? You remember that? Remember Lazarus, the report was he was sick and near death, right? How long did Jesus wait? He waited 3 days. And then his disciples are getting a little edgy. They're saying, wait a minute, man. You know, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they were his friends. Why is he not responding? Why is he waiting? Then he told them, okay, let's get up and go, right? Because he heard the news Lazarus is dead, right? He goes, okay, boys, let's get going. And they said, wait a minute. He said, Lazarus is only asleep, right? And they were puzzled by this. And then when he got there, what happened? What did Martha mouth off and said? She said, Master, if you would have been here, he would have been saved, right, or healed, right? But what did Jesus reply? Let's turn to that. Turn to that. John chapter 11. We're in John chapter 17. Look at John chapter 11. Okay, is everyone there? John chapter 11. Okay, now look at this. She says, right? Okay, verse 20 of chapter 11. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. He said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it to you. So let's face it, even Martha was a little frantic, but at least she had a little something in her heart. She knew, well, even if I know if you say something, God will give you what you say, even though my brother's been dead for several days, right? But now look at this. Look at what Jesus said. This is very important. Okay, where am I at? Okay. Jesus 23. Jesus said unto her, what does he say? Thy brother shall rise again. Now, Martha does what a lot of us do. We get, when God is speaking to us, we get religious, okay? Instead of just accepting what he said, right? She got religious and she said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, what she said, was that incorrect? No, it wasn't incorrect, but it wasn't what she should have been saying. She should have just said, I mean, I'm playing armchair quarterback here. She just should have said, yes, Lord, you're right. You know, let's go, right? But she talked about the resurrection. But notice what Jesus did. He said what? I am the resurrection and the life. He that does what? Believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now he brought it back to her. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? You know, I had an opportunity years ago when I was going to bring communion to one of our members in our church. I'm bringing them communion. The Holy Ghost told me, because I would bring it to him in the afternoon, like Friday, Saturday. I would bring them around 5 o'clock. Well, I'm at work Friday, and the Holy Ghost tells me, don't go to him at 5 o'clock. Go to him 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And right, I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, I got to go into the city and bring communion to this brother at 12 o'clock, not at 5. I don't know why. So I come in 12 o'clock. He's there watching a baseball game, and I'm getting ready to give him communion, right? We're getting ready to get the communion. I'm getting ready to turn the TV off, you know. When you know about that, Mr. Joe, you go visit people, you turn the TV off, I'm getting ready to, and all of a sudden, he started coughing. Next thing you know, he went into a convulsion, and he stopped breathing. Yeah, he stopped breathing. Now, meanwhile, his where he was way down on the other end, so I had to go all the way down to where the nurse station was and tell him he's not breathing. They all ran in, they rushed in, they did all that. He's not breathing. They didn't have a pulse. What does that mean? In our medical, who's our medical people? What does that mean? He's dead. So now here it is. I'm here. Now look at me. Here I am with the communion. I got my little communion set. And, you know, they told me to step outside. So I'm stepping outside. And, you know, this is really it's traumatic, you know. So anyway, I'm there. So it's a priest. A priest was there, a Catholic priest. He had a collar. So he comes to me. He says, son, I want you to understand that these things always happen in life, but the Lord giveth and the Lord. He's getting in. I said, wait a minute. Nine of the time I said, excuse me. I said, excuse me, sir. I'm not, because he thought I was like a loved one, family member. I said, no, I'm not a family member. I'm the deacon of his church, and I was coming to bring him communion. So the guy stops his little religious thing. He says, you're what? I said, I'm a deacon in his church, and I'm bringing him communion. He looked. He said, you came to bring a communion, this happened? I said, yeah. He said, man, that's a hell of a thing to happen to you. That's what he said. He said it just like, he said, this was a hell of a, and I said, excuse me, sir. Now listen, I said, excuse me, sir. I said, because he's blocking me from the door, whatever. I said, excuse me, sir, thank you, but I have, no, because once again, in my heart, what I heard was, I heard in my heart, pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't go in there, and I was right outside the door because the attendants and everybody was running in and out. They were looking for a doctor. I don't know why. But anyway, I'm outside, and my assignment was praying the Holy Ghost. So I begin to pray. People walking by thinking, what kind of language is he speaking? And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not kidding. All the nurses went out. They already did the code blue. I don't know, whatever. They're waiting for a doctor to come. So everybody's out the room, right? All of a sudden, as I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I heard this, hoo, hoo. Well, whatever, I don't know. They all ran in. He had a pulse. He was breathing. And they all came out happy. The point I'm making is this. Here's what I'm trying to say. Here's the point I'm making. We need to learn to listen where God wants us to be. I'll be the first to tell everybody. I'll tell anybody. And I'll always say this no matter how many times. He was dead. There was no question. I saw a person dead that God raised up. See, so now I don't have to believe that God can raise the dead. See, because I saw it. Now, people who've seen God raise the dead don't need faith. They just understand that that's what happened. Now, faith does kick in certain places when you're ministering or things of that nature. But I've seen God personally raise somebody up from the dead. So now, getting back to what Jesus said here to her. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? See, what's in your heart, church? That's what we got to find out tonight, this morning. What's in our hearts? And I got news for you. If there's things in our heart that are not right, God helps us to get them out. He's not closing down shop on us. He's not shutting down shop on us. God loves us. We serve a God that loves us so much. Now, in the book of Acts, and I'll close with this, in the book of Acts, remember that story of Ananias and Sapphira? One of the problems with that whole account was this. It was one big problem. It wasn't the money. See, everybody always thinks it was a money issue. It wasn't a money issue that caused Ananias to die. You know what the issue was? He lied in his heart to the Holy Ghost. Because he could have told the truth. Hey, listen, you know, everybody was selling stuff and buying stuff, and he could have, you know, did what he did, and said, okay, yeah, I'm breaking off some change. I'm throwing it into the pot. And Peter said, was that everything? He could have said, no, not really. That was what I put in. The rest, me and my lady, we're going to go to Hawaii. You know, we sold the house already. You guys got what you need, but we took a piece off to go to Hawaii. If he had said something like that, I don't think he would have got killed. But the truth of the matter was, in his heart, he lied to the Holy Ghost. So the issue wasn't the money. The issue was his heart. So when it comes to God, the issue is never what we're doing. It's not your efforts. You and I, we can never in our efforts satisfy a holy God. But we have to come to him with what? A contrite heart, a broken heart, a humble heart. And we've all missed it. I've missed it. We've all missed it one time or another. And if you never said you missed it, then you need to repent for lying. Right? But isn't it wonderful that if we go to him, like it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we can be in a place where God is manifesting his power and might and ability, but you know what? If our hearts are not right, we'll not receive it. I thought about this. Think about this. Remember Michelle? That was Saul's daughter, right? Saul's daughter, David became her husband. Here was a young lady who was in the king's palace, getting ready to marry the next king. But when she saw her husband come in with that ephod on, dancing around, remember when the Ark of the Covenant was coming in? What happened? Her heart was bitter before, because she couldn't understand what was going on. Her heart was bitter, and the Bible says she became an unfruitful person. She never bore a child. She never had anything. What I'm saying is this. Why am I saying this morning? The Holy Ghost is saying to us, we got what's in your heart? And if there's anything in your heart that's not of God, that's not that he didn't place there, that maybe we've allowed in there, God wants us just to settle it this morning. He wants to settle. He wants us. See, here's what's happening. Because God can present something great and new to us, but we'll not receive it because our hearts are wrong. Remember, the righteous heart will do what? Receive commandment and instruction. But the wicked heart will do what? Go away from God. So with every head bowed here this morning, if you're here this morning and under the sound of my voice, I know everyone here has accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and I thank God for that, and we are eternally thankful for that. But if you're here this morning, and we're going to do a little heart searching, because God is the one that does the surgery. If you're here this morning, and under the sound of my voice, and if you know that in your heart, there are some things, some issues that you need. And remember what David did. David asked, he said, purge me, cleanse me, give me a new heart. Now, God has already given us that, but maybe there may have been something in us that we've allowed other things to get in. I didn't even touch on that area because the Lord didn't want me to go that way. But there was grounds that the heart, the word of God fell in, and some ground was hard, some hard, thorny, some hearts were wrong. But the good heart brought forth good fruit. So if you're here this morning and by just lifting up your hand, I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to set ourselves in agreement that God has already given you a clean heart. You already have that type of heart. But what we're going to do is set ourselves in agreement, just like as in a computer, certain things have to be removed, like viruses. Well, that's the job of the Holy Ghost. He's removing it even now, even as I'm speaking. He's touching your heart, yes. He's touching you where you are. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand. Okay, I'll do that. He said, don't ask anyone to raise their hand. But he says, lead them in a prayer, and that's what I'm going to do. So join me in this prayer this morning, church. Say, Father, we come, I come this morning with a humble heart, with a contrite heart. Father, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Not only did he die for my sins, but that he raised me to newness of life. Father, I thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to examine our hearts. And Father, right now, I set myself in examination to you. Father, if there's anything in me that is unpleasing to you, to your will, to your way, I repent of it right now. Father, I thank you that you are faithful and you are just. And I have right now a clean heart, a perfect heart, a whole heart. And with my heart, I serve you freely. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that's you and you meant that, God, have faith enough to know that the God we serve is a faithful God. He loves us. He cares about us. He desires us to be in the places that we're probably believing him for more than we can ever imagine. God bless you, and I thank you for this time of sharing his word with you. God bless you. I love you.